This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. This is Unsportsmanlike with Chris Canty, Evan Cohen, and Michelle Smallman.
If you can find a barber that you're paying $25-$30 for in today's age, congratulations. You won't find him in the tri-state area.
Yeah, in New
Guaranteed.
York, there's no way.
Guaranteed. In New York, any of the boroughs, you're not finding that dude.
Carlos in Georgia.
25 is the max. Anything over that, they steal your money.
Okay, welcome to the show. It is Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio. ESPN2, all of our great ESPN stations across the country, Sirius XM Channel 80, and the ESPN app, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. And it's funny that Pat and Jovante and Uno just played that. My wife literally said to me yesterday, I'm surprised you didn't get a haircut this weekend after all of the barbershop talk on your show last week that you guys all talked about. I was like, well, I was going to maybe get one pre-Detroit when we go for the draft.
Yeah, you got to plan that out.
Maybe I wear the Scottie Scheffler hat and bring some success to myself like Scotty had at the Masters this weekend. Good morning, everybody.
Not quite the success that Scotty had, right? I mean, the baby
no.
knew better than to come on Masters Sunday.
Oh,
especially
no. Here he goes.
The guy was absolutely phenomenal yesterday, whether it was Max Homa or Colin Morikawa or Auberg. It doesn't matter who was challenging him. He was just ice in his veins, cold-blooded, especially on the back nine where everybody was stumbling on 11 and 12. This guy put his foot on the gas. Phenomenal, phenomenal tournament by Scottie Scheffler. Congratulations to that dude.
Congratulations.
He is the best golfer in the world.
Oh, absolutely. Two Masters in, what is it, 3 years? And I love his mentality, too. He just has such a fresh outlook on competition and his craft and his life. I'm a huge fan. I don't know how people can't cheer for this guy. But he's amazing to watch. He's absolutely dominant. Yeah.
Final round 68, 6 birdies last 11 holes, 7 birdies on that final round. Congratulations to Scottie Scheffler. And our producer Nuno has found a way to spin it negatively. Stay tuned for Oh, yes, he has. Stay tuned for that coming up. Yes, he has. I must say, the negative spin is an actual fair negative spin. It is. We will get to it coming up, but the NBA playoffs have been set. The regular season is over, 82 games in the books, unless your buddy Heald, who somehow played 84 games this year because of a trade. And let's start in the Western Conference, as we've got Oklahoma City as the one seed, which is just an amazing accomplishment. Yeah. The defending champion Denver Nuggets, the two seed. Your Minnesota Timberwolves, CC, the three seed against Phoenix. All right, I got to ask a question right off the bat. I'm going to go spicy right away.
Yeah. Whoa.
Do you want the Lakers to lose to the Pelicans to avoid the Nuggets and maybe get the eighth seed potentially and play Oklahoma City? Let's just go right there.
Oh.
To go to that side of the bracket?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't.
You want them to lose?
It wouldn't be bad.
It's not the worst thing in the world. I'm just saying, LeBron was unbelievable yesterday. Final game of the regular season. They beat the Pelicans.
That is the easier side of the bracket.
You're damn right it is.
That is the easier side of the bracket. To avoid the Timberwolves, to avoid the Denver Nuggets. Like That makes a lot of sense. But I can't root for them to lose
because it's
one game winner take all. So if you lose that game, then you're in a scenario where you could get bounced in that 9-10 matchup and ultimately end up missing the entire postseason. So
correct.
No, I don't want them to lose. I don't think you can pick your adventure at this situation. I think you got to try to get the win and try to advance.
But
there is no but. There is no
there
is there is no but. There is no but. That is it. Hard stop.
Denver's not exciting to face, though.
Well, yeah, it's not exciting to face, but you got to get in the tournament. At least you have a chance when you get in the tournament. I don't want to be in a situation where I lose two games and now I'm outside looking in. At least if I'm facing off against Denver, I've got a 7-game series, which means they got to beat me 4 times. If AD and LeBron are healthy, I'll take my chances. Now, I don't think they're very good, but I'd rather be in that situation than a single elimination proposition.
It is kind of a pick your poison, though, because it is a much easier route if you avoid Denver. But that is a risk that you might miss it altogether. But I wouldn't want to play them. I would not want to play Denver if I'm LA.
So which series? So right now we have Oklahoma City as the one. They're going to play the winner of the 9-10 who will go up against the loser of the 7-8. So that's going to be one of Golden State, Sacramento, New Orleans, and LA. the 4-5 Clippers and Dallas, who have played each other a bunch in the playoffs recently. The 3-6 is sneaky juicy in Minnesota and Phoenix. Mm-hmm. Phoenix gets in yesterday and avoiding the play-in. And then Denver gets the winner of New Orleans and the Lakers. If I gave you only one series in the West to watch, which one do you want to watch right now?
Oh, it's Clippers-Mavericks, right? I mean, that is going to be spicy. I think the winner of that series is going to the conference finals. And no disrespect to Oklahoma City Thunder, but it is disrespect to Oklahoma City Thunder.
Right.
You know, you're talking about a team that 2 years ago finished, what, 40 games behind the leader in the Western Conference? So, I mean, this is an organization, a roster that's on the come. And everybody's excited about what they have and what they could potentially be building. But I think this is just a year early, right? I mean, you got to get to the postseason and have some experience before you actually go on one of those deep championship runs. And so I think it might be a year too early for Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
And now with the one seed, knowing that, you know, there are expectations that come along with that, I just think that under those circumstances, with that kind of pressure, under the playoff lights, it's going to be a different situation. And conversely, for Luka and Kyrie, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know that there's a better tandem in basketball in terms of how well those two are playing right now and how this Dallas Mavs team has picked it up over the last month or so of basketball. Like, they're one of the best defensive teams over the last month of basketball, and nobody is talking about it. Mm-hmm. There has been something that has clicked into place. They've juggled the lineup a little bit. A couple of the players that they acquired during the trade deadline are starting to play integral roles on that team. And they're really, really starting to find their footing in terms of being able to develop that chemistry that it takes in order to compete for a championship. So, to me, the winner of Mavs-Clippers is going to be in the conference finals.
I actually don't think it's disrespectful to say what you said. I know what you did in terms of no disrespect to a one seed, but because, as you said, Oklahoma City is a year in advance, to say they get to the second round and lose a lengthy series in the second round with a team that literally half these guys probably aren't even old enough to drink, I don't think that's disrespectful. I think that's fair in their progression. I don't think that's saying that they can't win a title one day, can't go to the finals one day. You're playing up against either Luka and the Mavs or Kawhi Leonard, who has won a title with two different teams, and the Clippers, you probably should lose that series in the second round despite what you did in the regular season. I totally agree with you. Whoever wins Dallas and the Clippers, everyone is going to pick to go to the conference finals. It is not crazy. I'm not saying it's likely, but it is not crazy, Smalls, that the 1, 2, and 3 seeds in the Western Conference all lose in the first round. Very unlikely, but not crazy.
The 2 seed?
If LeBron James beats Jokic in the first round, that's that surprising? With arguably the second greatest player of all time, and if Anthony Davis, who he wasn't healthy yesterday, but if he is healthy, is it that ridiculous?
It's not that ridiculous when you frame it that way, but Jokic has just been so dominant. And if we're talking about playoff history, we have recency bias with Denver. So I guess I would be a little surprised because I'm already penciling them in at least the conference finals.
I think most people would. I'm just saying it's a rare year where I got to be honest. I know we're going to get to the Eastern Conference in a little bit.
Yeah.
If you tell me the 1, 2, and 3 in both conferences lost in the first round, I'm not that shocked.
I would be shocked with Denver.
I would be shocked.
With which one?
Denver. Specifically.
So let me play out how I would get to not being that shocked. Western Conference would have to be Lakers would beat the Pelicans and play the Nuggets. So, and then the winner of the Kings and the Warriors would have to be the Warriors for me. Then they beat the Pelicans. And you'd have the Thunder and the Warriors in the first round. Is it that crazy to think the Warriors could win that? To me, no. You'd have the Nuggets and the Lakers in the first round. I could see the Lakers potentially winning. And Phoenix beating Minnesota is not that crazy at all. There's the 1, 2, and 3 in the West where if you tell me that you have LeBron James and Steph Curry and Kevin Durant in the bottom of that seeding, is that that crazy?
No, it's not that crazy. But if the way we talk about Jokic and the impact that he's making on the game and where he's going to rank historically, the way we talk about him after he's coming off winning the NBA Finals and another dominant season, I guess I would be a little surprised. Despite it being LeBron, despite it being AD, Denver is a better team than the Lakers are. And Jokic is that dominant that I would be a little surprised. Even though LeBron seemingly, no matter what his age is or what the circumstances are, can find a way to pull a rabbit out of a hat, I think I would be a little surprised if the Lakers beat the Nuggets in the playoffs.
Yeah, let me tell you what's not going to happen. As a Lakers fan, I can tell you he ain't pulling a rabbit out of Jokic's hat. That ain't going to work. That we saw all we needed to see in the conference finals last year. Yeah. And the Denver Nuggets, believe it or not, feel like they're better this year than they were last year.
Well, they have that seasoning now, that championship DNA.
That's what I'm saying. And everybody is completely settled in their roles. This is going to be a really tough out. And I think the best thing that the Oklahoma City Thunder did was avoid that side of the bracket. I don't think it's going to matter because of how well Kyrie and Luka are playing. And the interesting part about that matchup that they would potentially have against Oklahoma City Thunder if they were advanced to the second round of the playoffs is that Kyrie and Luka together have not faced the Thunder this season. They haven't. So, I mean, it's just a situation. And they're 1-3, I think, as a team. And in those three losses, they would not have faced the Oklahoma City Thunder. So I just think that's a situation where OKC might not be prepared for the kind of firepower that the Mavs are bringing to the party because they can shoot their way to a win against anybody in the Western Conference playoff field.
Yeah. The other thing about the West that we need to think about here, and as somebody that has supported and loved this Warriors run from an entertainment perspective, and they're going up against the Kings. The Kings have given them problems. Mike Brown, the Kings head coach, we know is an excellent coach who used to be with the Warriors. They had a great series last year. We may be one game away from this all being done. They're in a 9-10 game on the road. They're better on the road than they are at home. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, again, I know I just said the opposite way, but the same thing. If the Kings beat the Warriors on Tuesday night, nobody's going to be shocked by that, and then it's over. Season's over for the Warriors in that 9-10 elimination.
Season's over. The dynasty's over, too.
Probably.
It's a wrap. Klay Thompson's not coming back. Like, I was sitting here thinking about that this morning.
I think he is. You think he's not?
No. If they don't go to the conference finals, why are you going to pay that kind of money to bring Klay Thompson back?
What kind of money is it, though? Would he take a hometown discount, potentially?
No, not at this stage in his career. He's got to make what he can make. I think with Klay Thompson, he's more valuable at other places in the NBA because there are going to be other places that don't need him to be the level of defender that Golden State does. Right. They just need him to be a knockdown shooter, somebody that can space the floor, somebody that can, you know, get hot and drop 30, 40 points in 25 minutes. Like, that's what Klay Thompson is. Somebody's going to embrace him just being a flamethrower on any given night to be that third option, and they're going to have a lot more offensive firepower than what Golden State currently has on a night-in, night-out basis. So I think it becomes a completely different dynamic if Klay Thompson is a free agent, and I'm not sure that Golden State, based on where they're at right now, being a team that's relegated to the 9-10 play-in game, I don't know how you justify that as an organization paying what you'd have to pay in a luxury tax to bring him back.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with there either, and with Draymond. You know, you have to wonder if how they're going to construct the Warriors moving forward. There's a lot of questions there.
Yep.
But also another team that I think is going to face a lot of questions if they lose is the Phoenix Suns. You know, that Phoenix-Minnesota matchup is really interesting because if Minnesota beats Phoenix, we're going to have a lot of questions about Kevin Durant. We're going to start to really talk about him, I think, in a different way.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the Western Conference playoffs, Klay Thompson with the Golden State Warriors, Paul George with the LA Clippers, Kevin Durant with the Phoenix Suns. I mean, if you're talking about all of those teams having early exits, then those players could be on the move this summer.
And the first two you mentioned could leave with nothing because they're free agents.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Durant would have to ask for a trade or they would have to decide to trade him. But those first two, yeah. I mean, if the Clippers lose to the Mavs, is it crazy to think Paul George goes to Philly
he can
or
exercise
wherever?
His player option. I mean, he can decline his player option and
he's
bounce.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah, he's out.
With nothing. The Clippers get nothing for that unless they do a sign and trade, which, again, he has no impetus to want to do that. The landscape of the West is so interesting because the young teams aren't going anywhere, but the veteran teams could look night and day different next year based on all those scenarios we just laid out. All right, we got to get to the Eastern Conference as there was way more jockeying for position and some teams pulled some shenanigans yesterday, which we will get to coming up after CCS this from Granger.
Yes, for the ones who get it done, like SGA and the Thunder, Granger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. Granger for the ones who get it done.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Eastern Conference playoffs set in the NBA. Both teams, both conferences, excuse me, set obviously in the NBA. We just went over the Western Conference here at Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com for more information. Stay tuned. Coming up in a little bit, Nuno has a negative spin on Scottie Scheffler.
I can't wait to hear that.
I'm not going to tell you what it is yet. You got to stay tuned.
Oh, I'm going to stay tuned, obviously, because I'm here and I'm intrigued, but I just don't know how he could spin it negatively. I thought about it during the break, and I don't know what the negative angle is.
I think he's got a good spin on this. I do. I really do. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with him necessarily, but I think it is an interesting spin on Scottie Scheffler dominating the golf world and winning the Masters yesterday. All right, Eastern Conference playoff set. The New York Knicks get the 2 seed. Boston Celtics, listen, we'll talk about as in the conference finals unless they lose before then. I'm not saying we won't at all before then, but like the Celtics have been so dominant all year. We skip you when you've been that dominant. It's a credit to you. Kudos to you. You've been that good. No?
Really? Because I think a lot of people have questions about Boston. Despite them being really dominant this season, having the fourth most wins in franchise history with 64, a lot of people aren't that sold on Boston.
I'm not either, but let's see who they get in the first round.
Okay.
If they get Philly.
I mean, the Sixers and the Heat have two opportunities to win one game.
Yeah.
If they have to face off against either one of those teams, that is a clutch your pearls type of moment.
Absolutely.
Yes.
That's why I was a little surprised you went there.
I don't know about that.
Well, we played the Knicks highlights coming in, so I was trying to ramble my way back into that.
I got you. I got you.
We'll get back to the Knicks. It ain't hard with Jalen Brunson doing what he's doing. Another 40-point game.
Another one.
But did they make the right move yesterday? I got to ask. Playing
their guys and making sure they get that win?
At the time that they were going into overtime yesterday, they were playing hard, and you could never fault a team. And the Knicks are made up in a way that they always are giving max effort for 48 or plus minutes in the case of yesterday. But if they would have lost that game to the Bulls yesterday at home, the Knicks would have played the Pacers in the first round. By winning that game, they will play the winner of Philadelphia and Miami. And I believe everyone yesterday was trying to find a way to avoid Philadelphia. That's where my mind went. I mean, the Cleveland Cavaliers just tanked against the Charlotte Hornets with the attempt to go play the Orlando Magic, who they are playing. I think everyone properly wants to avoid Philadelphia.
I don't know.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I love that mentality that they're not afraid of anybody.
Good luck.
And that I think I understand that's the more difficult opponent. But what championship team goes into the playoffs really afraid of anybody? I love that they wanted to get the win, that their mentality is we want the momentum and we want to be playing as sharp as we can going into the playoffs, and we want the best seeding possible. I love that that was the way that they approached this and that they're not afraid of whichever opponent that they draw.
Yeah, the Knicks don't give a damn. They don't give a damn whether it's the Sixers, the Heat. It doesn't matter to them. They're like a buzzsaw right now.
Yeah.
With the way that this team is rolling. I mean, Jalen Brunson, over his last 10 games, is averaging 38 points. 37.8 points. This dude is on one, man. I'm just sitting there looking at the season that he put together. He capped it with the 40-point game yesterday in that win against the Bulls. But, I mean, this guy has had 36 30-point games this year, which is tied for the most in franchise history. The Knicks, I don't know if you noticed, been playing basketball a long damn time at the Garden. Long time. He's got 11 40-point games on the season, which is second only to Bernard King. And, I mean, he ended the year with 7 straight 30-point games, which is the second longest streak in Knicks history behind Carmelo Anthony in 2013. Like, this team is special in just their tenacity, the way they get after it, and the fact that they got OG Anunoby back healthy, they got Mitchell Robinson in the lineup, Dante DiVincenzo, Josh Hart. They've got some guys now with OG and Josh Hart. Those guys provide a level of defensive versatility that protects Jalen Brunson and DiVincenzo when they get to that end of the court. And I got to say this. I mean, this is a team that turns defense to offense in a hurry. And we know Tom Thibodeau teams are going to be industrious in terms of how they work on the defensive end. That leads to easy buckets in transition. That leads to opportunities for instant offense. And I just think that this is a different animal when we consider all the other teams in the Eastern Conference field. When everybody kind of geared down in the final week and a half of the regular season, they were turning up. Mm-hmm. And so with that level of intensity, I don't know that I'm worried about the Knicks per se, even if they've got to face off against the Sixers. I'm not saying that the Knicks are going to win that series. What I am saying is that with Joel Embiid dealing with the injuries and over the weekend, they took him out of the game for precautions based on what happened on Friday night. I could see this being a long series, and based on the way that Jalen Brunson is playing, I could see the Knicks finding a way to advance to the second round.
I have a tough time imagining the Knicks beating a healthy Sixers team. I could see them beating the Heat. I absolutely could, and I'm a Heat fan. I could see them beating the Heat. Knicks and the Heat are very similar. As Tim Legler always says, they leave skin on the floor. You're never going to get shortchanged with effort with those two teams playing against each other. Guys, unfortunately, will get hurt in that series because of how hard both teams play. Mm-hmm. I just have a tough time picking them against the 76ers. I really do. It's spicy, though, the Eastern Conference. If you think about it, so the Boston Celtics and Miami Heat have had a nasty rivalry for the last 4 or 5 years.
Right.
Philadelphia and New York, we know, is always a rivalry, right?
Yes.
So we could have that. By the way, Milwaukee and Indiana is a sneaky rivalry. Indiana kicked Milwaukee's butt this year.
And they were 4-1?
Yeah, and remember there was a whole thing with the game ball at the end of one of those. It was the dumbest thing of all time, but it was spicy. Tyrese Halliburton is from Wisconsin. Like, there's like a little bit of spiciness there. And Doc Rivers, head coach of the Bucks, discussed the Pacers as the perfect opponent for Milwaukee.
Indiana has had our number all year, right? So, perfect opponent. You know, listen, we got to play somebody, and they're tough. They've played great against us. They have probably great confidence against us. We'll have great focus because we're going to have to.
And you have the fact that Orlando is looking at Cleveland saying, oh, they wanted us that badly? Like, they want us? They tanked to play us?
Yeah. Cleveland is one and done. Their best player.
Oh, against Orlando?
Yeah, their best player doesn't even want to be there. Cleveland's one and done.
Wow.
Cleveland's one and done. But that's just what it is. What we saw last year in the playoffs, wash, rinse, repeat. It's the same thing. I mean, now looking at the Milwaukee Bucks and the Pacers, like that's a series right there that's really interesting because I could see a world where the Bucks advance. I could also see a world where the Bucks, based on the dysfunction that has kind of been going on around behind the scenes and some of it actually in front of the cameras, I could see a world where that's a gentleman's sweep for the Indiana Pacers.
Wow.
Like, wow. I could see that. Like, that's the kind of disparity.
Five-game series you guys could see?
I could see the Bucks winning a long series in 6 or 7 games. I could also see the Bucks losing in 5 games.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the variance that comes along with Milwaukee. How can you trust what you're going to get from this team night to night?
Well, we also don't know if Giannis is playing.
You just don't.
Yeah.
I would assume he plays.
No, he's going to play.
We don't know if he's going to be 100% healthy.
Well, probably not. But, I mean, he's going to play. And if he's out there, I mean, with that calf injury, you just don't know. So, yeah, I could see a world where it's an early exit for the Bucks, and then if that happens, you have to ask all of the questions about the situation with the two star players, with Giannis and Dame. Are they happy? Can they coexist together? Is Doc Rivers the right coach for those guys?
He better be.
Looking at the supporting cast. I mean, think about it. This is an organization that's changed coaches 3 times in the last 6 months.
Yeah, no doubt.
So
no
there's
doubt.
A legitimate question on whether or not you got the right coach. And then whether or not those two star players can work together.
Well, and if they have another early exit, all of a sudden we have more conversations about Giannis, too, because you're the face of all of this turnover, and the results outside of the championship have not been there.
Yeah, I think the most competitive first-round series in the Eastern Conference is going to be the Knicks versus whoever they play, whether it's the Sixers or the Heat. And I'm betting it's going to be the Sixers. That's going to be the most competitive series.
I would think so also, unless Embiid's not 100% healthy. You know, then
even if he's not 100% healthy, that's going to be a competitive series.
No, I mean, could Miami upset them if Embiid's not 100% healthy in the first game? Neither of these teams. Let me say it this way: Philly will not lose to Chicago or Atlanta. Miami could lose to anyone, unfortunately.
That's true.
I mean, Miami can beat anyone and lose to anyone. There is a lot of spiciness around the playoffs right now.
I thought you'd have a little bit more confidence in the Heat based on what we saw last season.
Two years in a row, they're going to do this as the 8th seed. 2 years in a row. I could be hopeful and wishful, but I watching 82 games. Oh, right, why did you do that? You know what? Let me tell you about something I love, and that is a beautiful lawn. I hate doing lawn care. Thank you, True Green, for getting my mind off of what Smalls just led me into. That's why I use True Green to make myself happy, to smile, to wake up in the morning and look outside and your lawn looks beautiful. They're the official lawn treatment provider of the PGA Tour. We all know those are some nice greens. We all watched the golf yesterday. So just imagine what they could do to your lawn. All you have to do is water and mow. And to top it off, when you sign up for an annual plan by April 20th, 5 days from now, get one application free. Visit truegreen.com for the best lawn at the best price guaranteed. Restrictions apply.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We're going to Detroit next week. NFL draft. A week and a half away. CC will be on the coverage for ESPN Radio. We will all be in Detroit for our show on Thursday and Friday. And so everybody's all excited. Best case scenario yes. for different things, right? So, of course, the unsportsmanlike way is to find the worst case scenarios. So what we're going to do now is we're going to look at the quarterback position, because we've talked about as many as six different quarterbacks that could go in the first round of the draft. Mm-hmm. Six. What's the worst case scenario for the top quarterbacks?
For the guys that we're considering to be in, what, the top five?
Top five, top six. So we get you put a guy with a certain team, and you're just like, oh, God, that is not going to work.
Okay, I have two.
Go ahead.
First one for me. I don't think this is going to play out this way, but we are going doomsday scenario for said prospect. I'm going to go J.J. McCarthy, and I'm going to put him in a place where I think it would be wise for them to get a quarterback and have an eye towards the future, even though they seemingly are set this year and have built their offense around this guy. I think the worst place for J.J. McCarthy to land is with the New York Jets. If somehow at 10 they have him there, or if they jump up and get him, they're definitely going to need to draft a quarterback to think beyond the Aaron Rodgers era. And we don't know how that's going to work out this year. Mm-hmm. But I just think, despite having so much talent on that roster, that that place is so dysfunctional. And if they don't have success this year, could be in a very volatile situation. He is a guy who is, I think, very malleable and has had a lot of success in his collegiate career. Mm-hmm. He's had stability with Jim Harbaugh. I think that would be a bad spot for him to go, because it would be nothing but drama.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I'm concerned about J.J. McCarthy going to the New York Giants at six. I could see a scenario where he slides out of the top five because of the talent at the other position players, like Marvin Harrison Jr. and Joe Alt, the top wide receiver, top tackle, respectively, going four and five. I just think that J.J. McCarthy going to the Giants in a situation where he, on its face, doesn't look like he has to play early on, but when you get into it a little bit, you see that Daniel Jones is coming off of an ACL. Don't know if he's going to be able to stay healthy. As a matter of fact, 2 years ago, the one season that he was able to stay healthy in the 5 years he's been in the NFL. And then you have Drew Locke, who they got from the Seattle Seahawks in free agency, who can't play dead. So I just think that it would be a situation where J.J. McCarthy...
Wait, I got to interrupt you. For those on the radio, CeCe's doing this while wearing a Giants sweatshirt today.
Yes,
go
yes,
ahead.
Yes.
Sorry.
But J.J. McCarthy would have to play sooner than expected, and I don't think that that's one of those prospects that you can rush. I think you got to let that thing sit for a little bit. You got to let it stay in the incubator. You got to let it bake for a little while before you let him take over the reins, and I don't know that the Giants would have that luxury if they took him with a premium pick. If they take a quarterback with that sixth overall pick, that kid is going to be forced into action this year just based on the track record, the injury history of Daniel Jones, and you know, the production or lack thereof from Drew Lock at two stops in the NFL. So that would be a doomsday scenario for me as a Giants fan for them to take J.J. McCarthy at six.
So keep him out of MetLife Stadium.
Yeah, I mean, here's the other thing. The Giants don't have a ton of weapons. They got rid of Saquon Barkley. They got Jalen Hyatt, who is a fine young player, but that's really it. I mean, I was talking to one person that was in scouting, and they were talking about Darren Waller. And they were like, yeah, he can't run. They were talking about Darren Waller, the guy they traded for a couple of years ago, who's a really good tight end when he was with the Raiders. They're saying that he can't run.
Is that a problem?
That is a problem.
Oh, okay.
That is a problem. So, yeah, I just think parachuting J.J. McCarthy in there without a lot of guys on that offense that could be difference makers, still questions along the offensive line. I just think that is a doomsday scenario for the New York Giants and for McCarthy.
You have another one?
I do have another one, and it's all along the similar lines of what CC said about J.J. McCarthy and the Giants. My other one is Bo Nix to the Broncos.
Ah, that's what I had.
Because I think Bo Nix is a guy who we saw take a lot of steps in college, but there's still some questions about him. There's questions about how he's going to adapt outside the comfort of Oregon's offense. There's questions about his ability to make solid decisions when he's forced to extend the play. I just think he is one of those guys that could really use that time to sit behind someone and adapt to the NFL in that way. And I don't really know what the Denver Broncos are, but I know whichever quarterback they end up drafting is going to be asked to do a lot early on, and I don't think that would be fair to Bo Nix.
Can I ask a question? CeCe, you're going to have to answer this because you know this better than any of us.
What's up?
We talk about teams that are not ready for a quarterback all the time now, right? That's become more of a trendy kind of thing, like, hey, wait on it. It's really because of the Texans. The Texans waited on it. They got Stroud. That doesn't mean every other scenario is going to be like that. Why don't we talk about the Broncos as a team that's not ready for a quarterback?
Because we would be entertaining the possibility that Sean Payton would go two seasons in Denver getting paid $18 million a year, knowing that the franchise gave up a first-round pick and a second-round pick for him, and he wouldn't have his pick of quarterback. We just can't envision a world where that happens. I'm with you. I don't think the Broncos are anywhere close to being able to add a quarterback. Like, we don't even think the New England Patriots are close.
Yeah.
Let alone the Denver Broncos. The Patriots have more talent on their roster by leaps and bounds in comparison to the Broncos.
No
doubt. So I'm with you. I just don't think that organization with that new ownership group is going to have the level of patience to allow Sean Payton to pass on taking a quarterback in this year's class where as many as six signal callers can go in the first round. So I'm with you, but I mean, you also got to put into perspective that this team is eating $85 million in dead money from the Russell Wilson contract.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go too, is not only are you paying Sean Payton all of that money to be able to get his quarterback and develop him, but now is seemingly the time after you ate all that money to move on from Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
You have put all the pieces in place in order for him to go out and get his guy.
Yeah, and they haven't really done anything this offseason in terms of adding quarterbacks either.
No, that's
the other weird part about it. Like,
it's a head scratcher.
Pigeonholed yourself into taking a quarterback at the top of this year's draft.
But isn't that the most obvious tank team in the league?
It should be.
The Denver Broncos?
It should be.
Especially with that division being so much better. They have the best team in the league, obviously, in Kansas City. Harbaugh's there. You're a believer in the Raiders.
Yeah.
It's the most obvious tank team.
You know what the Denver Broncos should do? And I know this is crazy talk because they won't do it. What they should do? Find a way to trade down in the first round from 12.
Somebody
stockpile picks.
I agree.
Find a way to trade Patrick Surtain Jr. next week.
I agree.
Find a way to trade him. Like, just get picks and
push everything
into the 2025 offseason, cap space, draft picks, all of that stuff. And then, oh, by the way, there's a quarterback that's out there in Colorado right now. I'm not sure if you heard of him. Shedeur Sanders?
Oh, I've heard of him.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, listen, your dad doesn't even have to quit his job if he wants to come to your games in the NFL.
That's true.
Like, you can play on Saturday. You can watch the games at Mile High with his son playing quarterback for the Broncos on Sunday. It just works. That's what the Denver Broncos should do.
That's intriguing.
But there is a ton of pressure right now on Sean Payton, on that front office, to turn the page after the disaster that was Russell Wilson. And I just feel like that puts them in position where they're going to reach for a quarterback. Another place that I would say is a terrible, terrible train wreck waiting to happen. And I know I'm caveating this because we're supposed to be picking a player. But I would say a quarterback going number three to New England.
Mm.
A quarterback going number three to New England.
Does it matter which one?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter which one. Whether it's Daniels, whether it's Drake May, a quarterback going number three to New England. They've got no weapons. They've got a shaky offensive line. They lost Trent Brown to the Cincinnati Bengals. I just think that's a disaster waiting to happen. Now, they do have Jacoby Brissett as the pace car for a young quarterback, but you just don't have a whole lot to work with. In year one with the new head coach following Bill Belichick, the level of expectations that people always have for that franchise, there is no gap year with New England. You really don't get that with the scrutiny and the coverage that that team gets in the Boston metropolitan area. So I just don't think that's a great place for a quarterback if they take a guy at three. Now, if the Patriots trade out of three and stockpile more picks, then they have the potential to add more players around said quarterback that they would take at the top of this year's draft. But if they sit there at three and they take a quarterback, that is a bad spot for Drake May or Jaden Daniels.
All right, coming up, Scottie Scheffler dominated yesterday. Scottie Scheffler has been the best golfer in the world. There's a conversation, maybe, could he win all four this year, major tournaments? Someone that's a part of our show may spin it negatively. We'll get to that coming up. It's Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We are Unsportsmanlike. Scottie Scheffler wins his second Masters, only his fifth start at the Masters. He won his first one in 2022. It's a $3.6 million payout. He's made $15
million.
How much
money again? 3.6.
Ooh. $15 million this year. This number surprised me. $82 million all time. That's sixth most already for Scottie Scheffler, behind Tiger, Rory, Phil, Dustin, and Jordan Spieth. He had a final round 68, second best round of the day, six birdies on his final round in the last 11 holes, seven birdies overall. He's the fourth youngest.
Hold on. You glossed over that. Six birdies over his last 11.
Final 11. Yep.
Oh, my God.
And here's the thing.
Oh, my God.
There were times over the course of the weekend, I want to say a 10 on Saturday, where he may have double bogeyed, if I'm getting this right. Pat Costello, correct me, please, if I'm wrong about that, or at least bogeyed, because I remember watching that he was. There were moments where Scottie Scheffler wasn't great, but everyone else just fell apart, and he just does not. He has eight wins since February of 22. He's been number one for 80 plus weeks. He's had his third win in 35 days. I'm rattling off these stats for a reason. He is so dominant right now that I put out there on Twitter at Upco Radio, asking our buddy Matt Barry, who covers golf, obviously college football for us here on ESPN, whether or not he could win all four. Like, is it that crazy? And he said, barring paternity leave, yes, he could. Mm-hmm. He's the most dominant player we have seen, arguably, since Tiger. You want the negative spin?
What's the negative spin?
How is this possible to spin it negative?
All right, Nuno. Nuno, I think it's actually fair, but go ahead, Nuno. Explain why you think that the hype of Scheffler may be a little bit overrated right now.
Well, there was two things. But first, yesterday, it seemed like we were going to have one of the greatest finishes, right? And I think would have been a bigger story, and especially if he wins. But like everyone, as good as Scheffler was, everyone else behind them just completely was a disaster. They choked. So I think that took away from him. But the thing is, and golf needs another face, right? But when you don't have the LIV guys competing in tournaments every weekend with Scottie Scheffler, with the rest of these guys, like, is he this, like, are we taking it away from his dominance because he's not competing against these guys every week? And that's just that's like where I'm at with it. Like, cool. Like, yes, the LIV guys, there's three that finished in the top 10. But like, if you're not doing it every weekend against these guys.
And you're not playing 72, you're playing 54. Normally, I'm saying. So yeah, 72 yeah, yeah, obviously yeah. is now so
it's a
different
little, it's
round.
A little bit different, yeah.
Correct. Plus listening to, Scheffler. And everyone has different motivation, right? And he was talking about, and Gervonta, if you could play that, he was asked about how content he is with winning, with this win.
I feel like playing professional golf is an endlessly not satisfying career. For instance, in my head, all I can think about right now is getting home. I'm not thinking about the tournament. I'm not thinking about the green jacket. I'm trying to answer your questions. I'm trying to get home. I wish I could soak this in a little bit more. Maybe I will tonight when I get home. But at the end of the day, I think that's what the human heart does. You always want more. And I think you got to fight those things and focus on what's good. Because, like I said, winning this golf tournament does not change my identity. My identity is secure, and I cannot emphasize that enough.
I don't know. I want I'm the best. I'm dominating this sport. Like, you know, everyone's behind. Like, everyone, the line starts behind me. Like, try to catch up.
So
like, that's
wait,
what
so
I
Nuno,
want.
So basically,
I want some more bravado.
So there was no asterisk to when Tiger was dominant. No, obviously, there's only two major wins right now. But basically the question becomes, is he dominant or is he winning against a lesser field? Even though the players are in there, DeChambeau, et cetera, but they're different. The preparation is different because the previous tournaments they're now playing.
Yeah, but I can't diminish what he's done. And I get what you're saying about the live golf guys. But at the same time, it's not like there's a major tournament every single week. I mean, think about it. There's usually time between these tournaments. They're usually spaced out a little bit. And Scottie Scheffler has been showing that he can dominate the field regardless of where he's playing at and regardless of who he's playing against. And I don't think we can take away from what he's been able to do in terms of the evolution of his overall game. The weakness has been his ability to putt. But this past weekend, he was number one in the Masters field in putts per greens in regulation. I mean, this guy was top 10 in driving distance. He was top 10 in driving accuracy. He was top 10 in greens in regulation. And if you do that at Augusta National, you're going to have an opportunity to score. That's why he had the second most birdies of anybody over the course of 72 holes at Augusta. So he was absolutely phenomenal. And him being able to putt now, that being not just a weakness of his game, but now a strength of his game, I think that has taken him to another level, and that is why everybody else has been put on notice over the last month of golf where this guy's won three events.
Absolutely, and I'm also not going to hold the competition faltering against him. I'm going to actually give him more of a nod because of that. This is a guy who's at the most storied golf course and tournament, arguably, in the sport. And his wife is getting ready to go into labor potentially at any moment. And when it matters most, he has ice in his veins. He mm-hmm. separates himself from the competition despite the pressure of the environment around him, the pressure potentially in his personal life. He doesn't flinch at all while the rest of his competition does. And to me, that's more of a signal of who he is as a golfer and what I expect from him moving forward. If he can win under these circumstances, why would I ever count him out? And as far as his attitude is concerned, I think it is such a healthy mentality, and I absolutely love it, that he's like, hey, this is my job. It is not my life. Golf is, what did he say after he won the Masters again? Fourth, potentially, on the list of things that are important to him, especially with the impending birth of his first child. The fact that so many of these guys, their calling card is, I am so all-consumed by this. I mean, Tiger Woods was as obsessive as a preparer and as an athlete as we have probably seen in our lifetime. And the fact that Scottie Scheffler is doing this and saying, yeah, it's just my job. You know, it's, I didn't grow up where it was the number one thing that's most important to me, and it's not the most important thing to me now. I absolutely love that from him. And I think that perspective is going to help carry him to more success.
Yeah, the most impressive part of what he did yesterday was that stretch 9, 10, and 11. Colin Morikawa has the double bogey out of the bunker on 9 that backs him up. And then you're talking about Aalborg putting one in the drink at 11. And then you're talking about Homa actually hitting one into the straw on 12 and ends up being a bogey for him. And throughout those holes, you're talking about Scottie Scheffler birdieing two of the three. Like, it's just like, to me, like that stretch of golf where all three of the challengers found a way to back up, he put his foot on the gas and took control of that tournament. And he has seemingly done that this entire season. And I just feel like it's just more to come based on how he's able to score with the evolution of his putter.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, your number to join the conversation. Scottie Scheffler is Tiger-level dominant or going up against a weaker field? NBA playoffs are set. We'll get to that next.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.